Hey everybody, my name is Damara West and I'm founder of Be Well Beautiful Woman, where we help women to center their healing and liberation so that they can lead and live on their own terms. I am ecstatic to welcome you into the Abundance Summit, which is all about amplifying your power to draw in more money, more joy, and more ease. And I have an amazing guest on the lineup who is going to help us do just that. Vanessa Chisakula hails us all the way from Zambia. She's an artist, a speaker, and a creative activist who employs art as a medium for advocacy. She perceives creativity as the connecting thread between art and social justice, and her writings aim to heal and speak truth to power. She has been featured on various platforms, including but not limited to CSW66, the UN High Level Global Conference, the Southern Human Rights Defenders Summit, the International Fundraising Congress, the Africa Health Agenda International Conference, and the WHO Afro's 75th anniversary commemoration. She continues to work towards a world that hears more of our stories, like all of our stories, by facilitating safe spaces for girls to thrive and, most importantly, inspiring and empowering them to believe that they can do absolutely anything without fear. My sister, you are speaking my language, and I am so excited about our interview today.
I am more excited than you are. I'm just so humbled that you could have me here today.
Oh my gosh, I cannot wait to dive into this conversation. So let's just talk about first your journey and how you've been able to cultivate abundance in your life through your work.
So my journey has been a lot of starting over. Like, I think I'm the queen of comebacks. And I come from a very humble background, but I also come from a very matriarchal background. So I was privileged to grow up around women who lived life on their terms. And for me, those lessons I kept on putting in my little notebook and doing life with those. And I think it is part of what has cemented me into being the woman that I am today. And then with regards to education, my background is in teaching mathematics and computer science, which I never pursued further because I just like suddenly fell in love with art immediately I was done with college. And so that's when the spoken word poetry came, and then it just like shaped everything for me. And I wanted to see how far is far when you're doing something artistic and you're trying to make a living off it. And so I started to pick up some lessons along the way, especially when it came to do with abundance, because coming from Africa and then practicing art, it's really not, especially practicing spoken word art, it's really not an art form that has gained enough respect or that that easily pays all the bills. And so to find my footing in it and to also start like tapping on the abundance side of it, it took a lot for me to learn. And I think the key lessons that I walked away with was how to practice gratitude. So at every step of the way, I had to remind myself that this gift that I have, I am so grateful for it. And it's not everybody who is walking the path that I'm walking. So I always remind myself to pinch myself every day and just say thank you to God that I'm in this body and that I can do what I do. And then the other thing, it's to be able to share as much as possible, because it's not my gift alone. So I tap into abundance by bringing others into this circle. That is why it's so easy, it is so exciting, and it is so fulfilling for me to tell stories, because in storytelling, there is a level of sharing with others. You are not just healing yourself, you are healing others as well. And so by creating that space where I am giving, I know that I am planting good seed, which I am receiving even at the end of the day.
Mm. Yeah, it's so beautiful. So much of what you said is just pure power. And what I want to reflect back quickly is that in spite of the fact that spoken word hasn't had the traction, let's say like it's had in the US, for example, you didn't focus on that. You focused on your gift and you leaned into that gift. And that allowed you to go deeper and deeper in this craft that you have to bring you to this point. And so the lesson in this is so beautiful in that we should be grateful before the thing comes, right? And you, the gift in it, I mean, it was already here, right? Spoken word is your gifting and the manifestation of the abundance that came as a result of that, you didn't need that to happen in order for you to be grateful. And, you know, the law of attraction tells us that when we, whatever we put out in the world, it comes back. And so the fact that you just embrace that, and then also this understanding about your extension to other people as a means for you to also tap in, right? And so I know that we don't think about sharing our light, you know, we don't think about abundance this way, but when we have an abundant life, our job is to share that. And the more that we share that, the more we have to share, right? So it does require us, abundance does require us in part to tap into other people.
Yeah. A lot. Yes, it does. Actually, would want to refer to the saying that abundance, it's a process of spreading out, and it's like planting in multiple fields so that you can reap in multiple fields at the end of the day. So if you're going to have a source that is not running out, you must be doing something right when it comes to spreading yourself out, spreading the love out, spreading whatever it is that you do out to others, because they're bringing back at the end of the day. And the power that lies in tapping from being connected to other people cannot be, it can't even be explained up to its fullest. So
yeah,
abundance is not a one man's show.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, eventually, and what you're telling us is that eventually as we spread the seeds, we will be able to manifest a crop, right? Mm-hmm. Like eventually our work manifests into a crop as a result of other people in part that we've touched and or have touched us on our journey. And so that was really, really beautiful. talk to us about what it means to you to employ arts as a medium for advocacy and for social justice.
It means that you hold a superpower, because art is a beautiful persuasion. It is beautiful in its persuasion because there's no violence, okay, in practicing this art. It comes with so much softness, it comes with its love, but it accomplishes what it has come to do. Bob Marley, who talks about when music hits you, you feel no pain. And so I can relate that to poetry. When poetry hits you, you feel no pain. And any other art form, when it hits you, you feel no pain. But when we start to employ it as a tool in our advocacy, in our activism, we are simply using a way whereby we are getting what we want, but we're not shedding any blood. And for me, every time I have to use my art to speak out on an issue, I have to use my art to call out an issue, an injustice, I feel so powerful. Mm-hmm. And I feel that I am doing a service to my country, to the world, to the future generations, to my generations, by being an artist who is reflecting the times, because that is what this gift is for. And as artists, wherever we are, we have to be very mindful about reflecting the times, because we are walking museums. So we're busy storing information and telling stories that are going to be referred back to in the next 20, 50, 100 years, because these stories transcend us. They're going to be here when we're gone.
Wow. Well, and I love this, what you just shared about transcending. And that, I mean, you think about, you know, I've known that storytelling is a very powerful vehicle for a long time, but to hear you articulate it the way that you just did, and particularly like, it's a practice that, sure, it could lose translation over time, right? Or it could, you know, I could translate it one way and somebody else could translate it another way. I mean, art is really based on the person. But yet, once that story is told, whether it be through YouTube or, you know, at a conference, or like, you attach to it, not just from a historical standpoint, right? You attach your heart to it. You attach your head to it. And it's, it's got a lot of things percolating in me, that I think just are helping me to connect at a deeper level to the power of storytelling. And my sense is that it's probably hopefully it's landing that way with our listeners too. And yeah, you're right. And I love what you said too, Vanessa, about the fact that, you know, when you're using your gift, you feel your most powerful, right?
Yes.
And when you're using it towards advocacy and change, right? Because when we think about power, power is rooted in the activation of our purpose, right? But then when we share that with the world in the means by which we're called to share it, that's like double power. And so the fact that you just said, gosh, you know, this is, I feel, what's more powerful than me being in my gift and sharing my gift with the world in this way? I felt that. Okay. The next exploration is, you know, around the same theme of storytelling being just pure power. And using it as a tool to connect with the world, you know, moving people towards change. So how have you used your storytelling to get the message out to the world? And you've touched on it a little bit, but I imagine that you've done this in a myriad of ways. And so maybe the most significant ways that you feel like you've done that.
I think if I had to look at the most significant ways that I have done that, it is, firstly, I'll start with my spoken word poetry practice. Being able to shapeshift and fit into spaces for me has been one of the ways that I have utilized and found like the easiest to go back to, because it's my purest form. And also, I would want to refer to space that I have been part of creating back home, because I am a coordinator for a movement. It's called Word Smash Poetry Movement. And so what we do is we set ourselves up to be able to platform other stories by active of any right who cannot find spaces where they can speak out, like certain programs that have just been crafted for young women and girls. And I just want them to come and to feel like, okay, they have this amount of attention and they have this space to themselves because they're so respected. And we just want to hear them like come out of their shells and be their fuller selves, even if we're going to dedicate an entire day only to them. And so for me, that space, my own practice, they're so fulfilling.
Yeah. Well, and you know, around the theme of abundance, I mean, you're talking about it right now. There are unlimited possibilities, right? Like we can use storytelling in so many ways. And, you know, I talk a lot about the individualized pathway. And so the way that you, Vanessa, are using storytelling might not be the way somebody else is using storytelling. And yet the validity of it is really just rooted in your ability to tell true stories, your ability to use your voice in a way that is going to heighten the consciousness of the people, right? Because even just our lived experiences have that power, because it's not, we don't have any experiences just for ourselves. We're having it essentially for the collective, even if we haven't reached the collective yet, right? In our journey, because of where we're at. So that was, I really love that. And the ways that you are using it in your own unique way. So what role do you see storytelling in manifesting abundance?
I see stories being a weapon of actually shaping the future that we want. I will link it to affirming things. When we start to talk affirmations or start to talk about manifestation, we're dealing a lot with the spoken word. And so it matters what stories we want to tell, because narratives play a very huge role. So they are birthed from the stories that we start to tell people about us, about where we come from, about the future that we want. And I believe so much in the spoken word, because we speak into the universe and then we call things into being. So those stories that we are crafting can be used in manifesting if we start to talk about stories in a pattern of a future that we want to see manifest for us. So if I am always telling a story about myself, that I'm this beautiful and this courageous woman once upon a time, and then one day there was a grand rising, and then I conquered a whole dragon I slayed and everything else, I'm simply affirming those words through a story to myself. As I am calling them into being, there is always a point they have to start manifesting, because that's the story I'm telling. That's the narrative about Vanessa. That's what you should know when you look at me first. And so those stories start to become, because as we call them to being, they're equally trying to find their standing and to exist, because we're calling them with the creative power that we have. And Damara, if there is something that I have learned, is such a powerful thing, is the creativity of human beings. We simply speak things into being and then they become as we speak them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you know what just occurred to me, and I've been studying abundance for probably the last 7 years or so, but I was manifesting long before I knew, right? Because we're co-creators, whether we know that we're co-creating or not, right?
Yes.
And what I love about what you just said is that I have never thought about storytelling, even though it should be obvious to me, as a manifestation tool, right? And so when I ask the question, I'm just thinking about monetization. I'm thinking about using storytelling as a way to bring in more money, is a direct connection. But what just occurred to me is that our throat chakra is our number one way that we call in things that we want for our life. When we share a story, just like when we write in a journal or we pray or we have a conversation with someone, that's asking things to come to pass, essentially. Wow. Exactly. I don't know why I didn't make that connection before, but it's such a beautiful way to invite us in to tell our stories as a means, and I know this, to connect with the people that we're supposed to connect with. But I think that we don't usually think about storytelling in the same line that we do in other kinds of ways that we manifest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is so powerful, my sister. That was so good, Vanessa. Okay, so I can't believe it's come to the end. Nearly.
Oh my God.
I know. Yeah. I know I could talk to you all day, Queen. And I know that I can talk to you all day. So, you know, for women who struggle with telling their stories, speaking their truths, what advice do you have for them?
For women who struggle with telling their stories, speaking their truth, you're not alone. We all start from a place where we're so scared, because sometimes the stories are salty. They're shameful, they're embarrassing. Sometimes just think they're not worthy of being listened to. So I would just want to say, if you are not yet at a place where you are comfortable sharing your story, you're being robbed of the gift that you're actually going to make you so special amongst us, because the world needs to hear your story. I would just throw in a bit of advice by saying, start by telling your story to yourself and making it so true for yourself, because when it becomes your truth, the day it becomes your truth, you will be so proud to walk in your truth that you will not need to act it out.
Oh my gosh, that was such a beautiful exploration about storytelling, its connection to flow for us. And particularly when we're talking about, you know, changing that scarcity mindset, right? From being in service to other people, but ultimately being in service of self and allowing, you know, that light to permeate out. And so that was really beautiful. people talk a lot about sacred space. We use this term all the time, safe space, sacred space. And mm-hmm. I don't think that people always know exactly what that actually means. And so your work is about centering safe spaces for us. Mm-hmm. And so what is the true essence of what it means to curate safe space for women?
Okay, so yes, it's the term is thrown around a lot and sometimes without even understanding the meaning. For me, curating a safe space becomes a very intimate privilege to be able to call in people and tell them that this is your space, it's safe, and then you can do this. So I'm speaking about a space that has no judgment, a space that also allows you to grow, because, you know, safety comes with allowing you to own your dreams, your ideas, and also fly out with them. So a space that allows you to grow, a space that carries no judgment, and then a space that also embraces all sorts of diversity, because there is no template. There is no manual to doing life. And we're all coming in, like you mentioned about the experiences, we're all coming in with different experiences, but a safe space acknowledges that on the canvas, they're going to be different colors, and some are going to bring a bit of mess. Some are going to come beautiful, even just at the first brush stroke. But a safe space understands that we are coming to learn, to grow, to heal, and we're not going to be judged in the process. That is a space that is safe.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, and this is why representation, right, and cultural humility and really having a deep understanding of place and people before we engage is so critically important. So thank you for breaking that down for us. So Vanessa, as we get ready to wrap up and you share with the audience how they can stay in touch with you, because I know that they're going to want to do that. What final piece of inspiration do you have for the listeners regarding abundant flow?
So regarding abundant flow, I think I've been going through something myself, and there's a very valid lesson that I've picked up and I've been running with, and I so want to run with because now I'm excited. I just want to talk to people out there to understand that there cannot be the abundance we desire that we have ever dreamt of if we feel like where we are now, what we have now, is the best that we'll ever get. Mm. I'm talking about the power of being unafraid to let go. This is something that usually comes with a lot of pain because you're contemplating like, what next? But it comes with a lot of reward as well. So I'm talking about attracting more money to your life, attracting good people to your life, attracting good spaces, whether it be work, your intimate spaces. If we're holding on so much to a space right now and we are afraid to let it go, I just want to assure you that abundance is not going to flow. There is something about letting go, something about freedom, that allows us to actually take in a lot more. Because if you're going to feel like what you have right now is the best of the best that you're ever going to have, without noticing, you're going to start to shrink even smaller. Because trust me, you're obviously occupying a small space that is getting smaller, especially if you're getting convinced that it's the only thing that can ever happen. So I would want somebody listening to me right now, and you're at a crossroads, maybe there is something that you're failing to let go of, it is literally the door to you manifesting abundance. And it works for everything. Finances, it works for relationship, it works for your professional life, it works for any sort of ministry you're into. Smallness, that holding on to something, is literally the flip side. It's the door which you need to open to go into manifesting your abundance.
Yeah, it's a great way to end us. And, you know, this permission to keep asking for more. And I think that sometimes people don't think about that peak, right? Whatever peak we have identified as we can't have more than that, and that it actually doesn't plateau us. It will start to deplete us. And so this is so good what you just shared with us. Like, when we're saying this is it, not only will you have only that, you're going to eventually have less than that if you continue to have these thoughts, because what we put out, we attract. And the more we put that thought out there, the more lack we're attracting in our lives.
Exactly. And lack has a very deceptive appearance to make you think this is it, this is the zenith of this. Mm. When it's so deceptive. It's so deceptive. There can always be more. There can always be more money. There can always be more people. There can always be more jobs. There can always be everything can get as multiplied as we think of it. It's just about what you allow to take in. So
you just enlarged, left the word.
Like, you left your verses.
Sister, you making me want to, wait a minute, you making me want to just get my notebook out right now and write out the more that I want, okay?
There can always be more. Like,
yeah,
I am telling you, and I've adopted, I'm just adopting this culture nowadays. Like, if I'm thinking of something, because for me, it's the writing part that comes in a lot. So as I am visualizing my ideas and I write them down, how I want them to look like, I become specific. I was just talking to myself yesterday. I was like, okay, so I know it might be a bit too forward, but I want to like just lay out my plans. What do I want to see for the entire 2024? We start the year in November. I list down my stuff, and I'm thinking, you know, I want to be a bit over ambitious to say that when this is done, and even if the year is not done, I'm still going to write more things, and I just want to see more. Because you really have to shift from a place where you feel you sort of feel like, no, this is the only thing that I can ask of a universe. This is the only thing that I can create with my spoken words. Mm-mm-mm. There can always be more.
Yes.
And once we move to realize and learn the secret that there can be more, then we become, you know, yeah.
Then we have more. Well, then we have more and we become more, right?
And yes, we have more and we become more.
Yes, yes. This has been such a pleasure. You know, I'm coming to Zambia next year, and my hope is that we will connect. But in the meantime, my beautiful sister, let the audience know how they can stay in touch with you, because I know they're going to want to do that. And it has just been a pleasure to share this space with you.
Thank you so much, Damara. And of course, I would just want to connect, with everybody interested in connecting. So I am Vanessa Chisakula across almost all social platforms. So I'm Vanessa Chisakula on LinkedIn. I'm Vanessa Chisakula on Facebook. I'm Vanessa Chisakula on Instagram. I'm Vanessa Chisakula with only one S. That's only on Twitter, or rather X now, wrongly. And then I'm Vanessa Chisakula on YouTube. Like, most of my work in video form is found on YouTube. And looking forward to do a lot more work and put it on more platforms this year. So just look for Vanessa Chisakula.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I can't wait to see more of your work in action, how you're going to be moved to share your spoken word with the world to transform us, right, on an individual and a collective level. Thank you for just stepping into your gifts and sharing them with the world. It has been a tremendous gift for me to be in sacred space with you today. So you will have all the links to get in touch with Vanessa based on what she just shared with us today, to make it super easy for you, along, of course, with her video link. And make sure you follow her, connect with her, look out for the things that she's putting out in the world. And until next time, beauties, that's it. Until our next interview, Ashe.